Pesach of Eliezer, Perek Lamed Vov. We're holding in the middle of the Perek. We're speaking about Yaakov Avinu running away from Lavan, from the house of Lavan. And basically the Medrash is going to continue speaking about, basically what happens in the Pasuk is that the end of Parshas Vayetze, so Lavan catches up to Yaakov Avinu and he says, you know, why did you steal my stuff? And Yaakov Avinu says, I didn't really steal it. And Lavan's like, okay, let's just, like, we'll make a deal, and then we'll get together, we'll get along, and then, you know, there won't be any fights between us. So they make a deal together, Yaakov and Lavan. Fine. So the Medrash over here is going to go off and say, it's a slight tangent, is going to say that there's three people that made treaties, the three of us made treaties with nations of the world, and basically David and Melech had to sort of pick up the pieces and suffer the consequences of those treaties when David HaMelech was trying to unify Eretz Yisrael after he conquered it. So that's what basically we're going to speak about today. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shleisha Ovis Korusu Vris Im Ame Haaretz. Three of us made a treaty with the nations of the land. First, when I read this, Ame Haaretz means like the ignoramuses, like Ame Haaretz usually in Chazal. But Ame Haaretz means the nations of the land. Lamed Vav, towards the end.
Oh, towards the end.
Not towards the end. I'm sure it's in the... you have it? Rabbi Yehuda Omer?
I'll find it. Go ahead.
Okay. Ve'eluhin, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov Avinu. Avram, Kores, Bris, Im, Amei, Haaretz. Avram, Avinu, made a treaty with the nations of the land, and we're going to go through a whole story about Avram Avinu making a deal with the people of Bnei Ches. What's the story? When the angels appeared to Avram Avinu in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, that we spoke about this story at length earlier, one of the earlier parakim, I don't remember which parak it was, Chaf, I don't know. Remember what parak it was?
No.
It was the Lamed somewhere. Whatever, we spoke about that story earlier. So when the angels appeared to Avram Avinu, he thought that they were guests from the nations of the world. So he took them in as guests. Varatz lekrosam, he ran to greet them. And he wanted to make for them a great meal, a big banquet for them. And he told Sara, right, to make for them a meal, right? He said, Lushi Vasi Ugeis. They take a certain amount of kemach seles, finely ground, fine flour, and make ugeis, make bread from it, right? And then it says also Vela Bokar Ratz Avram. Avram went to the Bokar and he brought meat and they had butter and this, all these different. It was a huge banquet that he made for these three guests. They were really angels that he thought were people. It's time the Medrash just like adds in over here parenthetically. But Isa Shah, at that moment, Kishahisa Lasha Sarah, when Sarah was kneading the dough to make like the bread or the cakes, Rasa Dam Nida. She saw Dam Nida. Right, even though she was 89 years old, right, she saw Dam Nida, which is a nace, which symbolized that she's gonna, her cycle is coming back. She's gonna be able to have a child. Therefore, she didn't bring out the ugeis. If you look in the pesukim, so it doesn't say that she actually brought the cakes that Avram Avinu told her to bake for these guests. It doesn't say that she brought those cakes or the breads. Why? The pshat is because she saw Dam Nida, she became Tmeya, so therefore she didn't want to bring it up because the bias of Gadol, because Avram Avinu Eichel Chulin B'Tayra, he used to eat even his Chulin, his non-holy foods. Usually the halacha is you have to eat kachim, karbanas, sacrificial meats, or trumas, you have to eat it when you're in a state of purity. But even non-holy meat, non-holy regular food, chulin it's called. So even that, Avram Avinu had a special chumra that they would eat it. He would only eat it while it's tahar, while he's tahar, etc. So he didn't want to Sarah knew that Avraham Avinu wouldn't want to eat these breads that she made when she was Tamei, so therefore she didn't bring them. We said before one time a different reason why, what happened to these ugais, why Sarah didn't bring them, because we said that there's a Medrash Chemdas Yomim that says the oig came, he ate them, and that's why he's called oig, Hashem ha ugais that he ate. That's oig. We once said that, and we said another. I said another stam a few weeks ago. I was in the class from Rabbi Marcus, and he wrote a book called The Guide to Lashon HaKadosh. He gives a class for how to teach Lashon HaKadosh to people in Har Sameach. So I was in the class, and it was like late at night. It was probably close to like 10:30 or something, and I was like very tired. And you know, he was like going through sentences and having people translate them. So like one of the sentences was Sara Achla et Ha'ugot. So he translated, you know, he read it, he said, Sara Achla et Ha'ugot, and he translated it, Sara ate the cakes. And I just started laughing. And I'm like, why are you laughing? I'm like, no, that's the pshat why she didn't serve the cakes, because she ate them. And it was very late at night. I once also came up with a different pshat about this, that basically had to do with Sara being on a low-carb diet, but that's for a different time and place. It's just a little complicated, but... What?
That's for a... You're being very serious.
Yeah, you want me to... No, it's a whole story. I'll tell you a whole story. Basically, this is going to make this shir end late, but okay, I can tell you... Well, you have to go. Okay, so we'll keep the story for a different time. Varat Lahavi Ben Bakar. Avraham Avinu ran to bring Ben Bakar, to bring a young veal or something, right? Ben Bakar is like a calf. A veal is a calf, right?
Ben normally is connotes
young.
Year old,
fine.
I think Rashi said that someplace.
Could be. Ben Bakar, so Rashi went, Avraham Avinu went to bring a calf. To have meat, Ubarach lefano ben Habakar, and the calf ran away from him. Vinechlas Maras Machpela, and the calf ran to Maras Machpela. And the pasuk says, "V'Habakar rots Avram." Avram ran to the Bakar, and Maruzuf says that's the remnants of the idea that Avram had to run after the Bakar. It was going somewhere, and he had to run after it to catch up to it. And there's also a remnant in the Balaturim. It says that V'Habakar rots is gematria rots l'Ma'ara. It ran to the cave. And also the Radal points out over here, Habakar, Ben Habakar. Habakar is the same letters as the word Kvura, which is the grave. So we see that this calf that Avraham Avinu wanted to shecht and bring it to the as a guest, it ran away and went to Maris Machpelah. V'nichnas Achrav, and Avraham Avinu followed after this calf into the Maris Machpelah. Umato Shem, what do you find there? Adam v'Chava, he saw Adam and Chava, Shechvin Alamitais v'Yishenim, they were laying down in their beds and they were sleeping, meaning they were dead. V'neiros dolkim aleihem, and there were candles lit above them. V'reach tov aleihem k'reach nechoyach, and there was a good smell coming out, emanating from them, like reach nechoyach, like a good smell of korbanos. L'fichach chomad es me'aras ha'machpela chuzos kover. Therefore, Avraham Avinu desired Maras ha'machpela as his final resting place. Right? He desired that as his chuzos kever, as a heritage of a burial heritage, right? And the Radal says that the Medrash is saying here that it's giving this whole description of what Avraham Avinu saw in Maras HaMachpelah. Adam and Chava, and they were laying down with the candle and the smell. And this, because otherwise it's like, well, Avraham Avinu Stam had a desired something that belonged to somebody else because he wanted it Stam. So the Medrash is saying, no, it wasn't Stam that he wanted it. He saw there was some Ruchniyah sticker thing over here, and that's why he specifically desired Maras HaMachpelah. Okay, it's still a little bit of a tzarachian, because like, well, just because you see a ruchnistic thing, significance to something, so that means that you're allowed to desire something that belongs to somebody else? Like if the Torah says, le'sachmoid, le'sasada, you're not allowed to desire something that belongs to somebody else, so just because you see that it's significant, that doesn't, that could be, on the contrary, that's more of a reason, it's significant, it belongs to someone else, you should still not want it. So I'm not sure exactly what the Radal is trying to say, but,
does it mean that they were Yeshenim?
V'neiros dolkim aleihem. I don't know. I'm just translating what it says. It was laying on a bed. They were laying on a bed and sleeping, and there was a candle lit over them. I don't know what that means. Like in the cartoons, like when someone has a good idea, so like a light bulb comes up over his head.
Well, they were sleeping. They're not dead.
Yeah. I know. I think sleeping means is a euphemism for dead, yeah. But I'm not sure.
And who lit the candles?
Maybe Hashem. Hashem buried them. I don't know. Hashem, I'm not sure what it means.
Hashem didn't have to bury them.
Al-Kupanim, so okay, this is the Iker thing. So Avraham Avinu decides he wants to get this Ma'aseh Machpelah. Omar Levnei Yevus. So he went to the Yevusim, Liknas Mehemes Ma'aseh Machpelah, to go buy from them Ma'aseh Machpelah, Bemecher Toiv Uvezahav, with a good sale with gold. A different Gersa is with a good sale, meaning with gold, or Bemecher Toiv, meaning Zav, or another Gersa the Radal brings is Bemecher Oilam, with an everlasting sale, bizarre, with gold, like gold is like a lasting thing, with a shtar oilam, and with a document that's supposed to last forever, lachuzas kover, as a heritage of being a burial place, a burial heritage. Al-Stam, the Rata has a whole shtickle over here that in the psukim it says it was arba me'ez shekel kesef, it was silver, not gold. So the Rata says, no, what Avraham Avinu gave to them was gold, but the amount of gold was measured in 400 shekel of kesef. 400 silver shekel is like a certain amount of money, and Avraham Avinu gave them that amount in gold. It's like a currency. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the actual commodity that he gave them. But now, you should have asked this question. If you look in the Pesukim, it says, Ephron ha?
Chiti.
Ephron was a chiti, right?
I was going to ask, I'm waiting for it to get through the story of the Yevusi and maybe then go to the Chiti.
Right. So Ephron was a Chiti. So why did the Medrash just call him Yevusi?
And also, I was just going to say maybe they were saying that he was going to offer him gold, Yevusi, but then it was the Chiti and he didn't offer them gold.
So the Medrash asked this question, at least this way I understand it. V'chi Yevusim hayu? Were they Yevusim, the people that Avraham Avinu bought Ma'aseh Machpelah from? V'haloi Chitim hayu? Were they not Chitim? It says Ephron Achisi. It says V'yishachol lo am ha'aretz levnei Ches, right? Mm-hmm. So why does it say Yevusi? Why did the Medrash call them Yevusim? El al shem ir Yevus nikru Yevusim. Rather, because of the city Yevus, they're called Yevusim. Now Yevus is another name for the city of Yerushalayim. Yeah. That's the name. And what we're going to see later on in the Medrash that the Yevusim were the ones, these quote-unquote Yevusim were the people in charge of the city of Yerushalayim that was not conquered all the way until the time of David HaMelech. Meaning it wasn't conquered in the original conquerings by Yeshua and Shoftim, you know, for like 400 years after Bnei Yisrael came in, they didn't conquer Yerushalayim right away. It was conquered in the time of David HaMelech, but the city of Yevus.
But, wait a minute, then we're in Hebron. He wants
yes.
to buy the
Okay. So the understanding is that, the way I understand it, is that the people that Avraham Avinu is buying it from, they're called Chitim. These people, I guess their descendants, are going to be the people who are going to later conquer the city of Yevus from the real Yevusim.
Uh-huh.
And then... Therefore, they're going to be called Yevusim because they lived in the city of Yevus.
But they're Bnei Ches.
But they're really Bnei Ches. Just to get an idea, the Torah in Parshas Noach, when it goes to the sons of Canaan, right? So one of the sons of Canaan is Ches or Chitim, and one of the sons of Canaan is Yevus or Yevusim. Right? They're different. Let's call them tribes of Canaanim, of descendants of Canaan. So here we're saying that these people really that Avraham Avinu bought it from were Chitim, but later on and later on in Nach and also over here in the Medrash we're calling them Yevusim because the descendants of these Chitim would later inhabit the city of Yevus, and therefore they would be called Yevusim, even though they weren't really what we call really Yevusim. It's a shtickle complicated, and we'll see a little bit later that it's even more complicated than the way I'm saying it. And the question really is like, what prompted Chazal to say such a thing? Like, why are we taking not at face value? But okay, whatever. V'lei kiblu hanashim. So Avraham Avinu originally made the offer to them. V'lei kiblu hanashim. The men did not originally accept Avraham Avinu's offer. Hisrael kareya umishtachava aleihem. He began to bow and prostrate himself in front of the people of Ches Shnemar. Vayishtachu Avraham lefnei Am Haaretz. Avraham bowed in front of the Am Haaretz, the nation of the land. Amru loy, they said to him, Anu yodim, we know, Shakadosh Baruch Hu asa liten lecha ulazarecha es kol haaretz Yisrael. We know that in the future, God is going to give to you and to your descendants all these lands. Kreis imanu shvua, make a treaty with us, she'en Yisrael yoreshem es ir Yevus, that the Jews will not inherit the city of Yevus, ki'im birtsoinam shel b'nei Yevus, unless it's with the approval of the people of Yevus. So he's saying, people are saying that Avram Avinu will sell you, the Chitim are saying, Avram will sell you this land, this Maras HaMachpelah, only on condition that you make a treaty with us, that you won't conquer, that your descendants won't conquer the city of Yevus. Fine. Says the Medrash. Now, this time the question is, okay, we're talking about these Chitim who inhabit right now Hebron. Right? So they have other cities as well. We're talking about Hebron or Kiryat Arba, whatever it's called. And we're saying that they're going to conquer Yevus, or they're going to be in charge of Yevus. The question is, like, why did they say Dafka Yevus of all the cities that they have? Like, why didn't they say, as long as you don't conquer the rest of Hebron, just take the Maras and Machpelah, not the rest of it? Mm. They didn't say that. They said, we know you're going to conquer everything. Just leave us Yevus. Why Dafka Yevus? So the Radal says that the Pshat is because even the Knanim understood the Yevus, which is the city of Yerushalayim, there's something holy about it. We say that Yerushalayim Shalmal Mata is Kneged, is Mukhuvan, Kneged Yerushalayim Shalmala. The lower Jerusalem in this world corresponds to the Jerusalem in the Shemayim, which is a high spiritual place. People recognize that, even the Goyim, the Knanim in that time recognized it, and so they didn't want to lose that special place. So they said we're only selling Maras HaMachpelah on the condition that you won't conquer Yerushalayim from us, without our consent. Fine. The Karasimah and Bris, the Radal adds those words, the Karasimah and Bris, and he made a treaty with them. And afterwards, Avram Avinu he made the treaty with them. And afterwards, Avram Avinu acquired or he bought Maras HaMachpelah with mecher kes mecher zav with a price of gold. He gave them he paid them in gold with a chsav oilam and with a written document that's supposed to last forever lachuzas oilam as an eternal inheritance. Shneira, it says in the pasuk, Vayishma Avram el Efrain. Avram listens to Efrain. Vayishka Avram el Efrain as a kesef. Avram measured for Efrain the money asher diber baznev in a ches that he spoke about in the ears of the people of ches. Arba meyeh shekel kesef iver lasecher. Right, he gave them arba meyeh shekel kesef, which we said was the currency, wasn't the actual thing that he gave them. It was the value of what he gave them, but. The Radal points out an interesting thing over here. The Radal says that Avram Avinu comes out, is gonna acquire the mission in Mesachas Kedushin says Karka Niknas B'Shleisha Drachim Kesef Shtar and Chazaka. You can acquire land through three means: through giving money, through writing a document, and through Chazaka, through showing your ownership by taking it by using it, let's say. And so he says Avram Avinu did all three things. He gave money for it, he wrote a document for it, and also he used it to bury Sarah, so he showed his ownership about it. So Avraham Avinu was koina Maras HaMachpelah in all three ways. Even though the Gemara in the beginning of the Kedushin says that, you know, the kinyan that Avraham Avinu used was kesef, like kicha kicha mistei Efrain, which is assuming that it's kesef. So the Radal asked that as a question. I'm not sure how much of a question. It could be that was the first kinyan, or that was the only one that's mentioned explicitly in the Chumash. Okay. Yeah, there's a Tesis of Rosh Maseches Seita Daf Yud that brings in the name of Pirkei Deb Eliezer that as a sign to show this treaty that he made with the Bnei Ches, Avraham Avinu gave them his choysam, his signet. But our Pirkei Deb Eliezer doesn't say something like that. Actually, it says something quite different. Me also Anches Yevus. What did the people of Yevus do? These chitim that sold Avraham Avinu the Maras HaMachpelah on condition that they don't conquer, that Avraham Avinu's descendants won't conquer Yevus. Also, tzlamim shel nechashes. They made statues of bronze, copper. Ve'amido yisrael b'rchei v'ir, and they erected them in the city, in the street of the city, or in the plaza of the city. Because v'aleihem shvuas Avraham, and they wrote on these statues this shvuah, this oath that Avraham Avinu took that his descendants are not going to conquer Yavus without the consent of the Jezebites. When Bnei Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to go into the Jezebite city in order to conquer it. And they were not able to enter because of the sign of the covenant of the oath of Avram Avinu that he said that I'm not gonna, or my descendants are not gonna conquer Yavus, the city of Yavus. It says the pasuk that's Yavus Yeshiv Yerushalayim. They didn't conquer. It's a pasuk in the Sefer Shaftim. That's originally when the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael. Ucha Shemalach David, when David Malach became king. And he wanted to go inside the Jezebite city. He wasn't able to go in. They didn't let him in. Or he couldn't go in. Shinema says in the Pasuk, David, Lamar, you can't come here. Now the Medrash asks, was it not true that the Jews at that time were like the sand of the sea? Like the sand by the beach, and they were so numerous, right? So the Jews are so numerous, and they had such a strong army, of course they would be able to go in and conquer it. What do you mean that David Melch couldn't go in? Of course he could go in. What's the problem? What's blocking him? Right? The Jews were so powerful and so numerous, what was blocking him? Ella, rather, what the Pasuk means is, Mikoyech Bris Shavuos Avram, because of the power of the oath, that covenant that Avram Avinu said that we're not going to my descendants are not going to conquer the city of Yavus without your permission. So David Melech wasn't able to go in and conquer it because of that promise that Avram Avinu made. David v'chazel acharav. David Melech saw this and he went backwards. He retreated. Shneimar vayeshev David b'mitzuda. He went to Mitzuda. He returned to Mitzuda. Omruloi. They said to him. They told David Melech. Ein ata yochel likanes biir hayivusi. You cannot enter the Yavusi city. Achitasir kol atzlamim halalu shkasev aleim ois shivas avram. Until you remove all of these statues that have written upon them the shvua of Avram Avinu, the sign of the shvua. Shneva, it says the pasuk ki im hasircha ha'ivrim va'pischim, that you can't go into the city of Yavus. Unless you remove the blind men and the lame men. What are these ivrim v'apischim, the blind men and the lame men? It says the Medrash. Elo hatzl. So, okay, so we'll say it like this. The Medrash, we have it, the way we have the Medrash is like this. Elo hatzlamim. Is that how you have it? Elo hatzlamim. These are the statues shenemar lehem that it says about that, about these statues al kain yermu ivru pisech leyovay elaboyis, a blind man and a lame man can't come into the house, right? Okay, so then there's a girsa that says like this. Shema toimer, this is from the Ksaviat. Shema toimer ha'ivrim va'pischim loy hayu nichnasim b'migdash chas v'shalom. Maybe you'll see what that pasuk means is that ivrim and pischim, a blind man and a lame person, cannot go into the base of migdash. Loy yovei al abayis, they can't come into the base of migdash. Means that's what the pasuk means, that they can't come into the base of migdash. Chas v'shalom, that's what the Medrash says. No, chas v'shalom. Ella, rather, what does that pasuk mean? Hatzlamim, it's referring to these statues. Ivrim, why are they called blind men? Because they naim lehem v'lo yiru, because they have eyes and they don't see. And pischim, why are they called pischim? Is because they have feet and they don't walk. Shneimar snuei nefesh David, because it says the pasuk that these Ephraim and pischim are snuei nefesh David. They are people that David's soul hates them. And what does it mean? David shehayu David sainei l'shmoi avliris avidazara. And because David Melech would hate to see or to hear about Avodah Zarah, so it must be that we're talking about these statues. That's what the Medrash says. This girsa of the Medrash. So basically, what the Medrash is explaining is that the reason why these statues are called blind men and lame men is because, like, just like Avodah Zarah, you call it blind or man, lame or whatever, just because, like, if you make a form of a person and it has eyes and it can't see, it's like the Torah is sort of mocking it. It's calling Avodah Zarah something like in a disparaging way, like as if it's blind because it has eyes and it doesn't see, or it's lame because it has legs and it doesn't walk. That's what the Medrash is saying over here. The Zayis Ranan and the Yalkut Shemini also gives this explanation, even to the Girsa that we have over here. Right, so there's another explanation. There's another explanation that the Ravid in his Pirush on the Sifri says that they erected this as a remez to Avram and Yaakov Avinu, because Avram Avinu, no, I'm sorry, to Yitzchak and Yaakov, because Yitzchak Avinu was blind, right, and Yaakov Avinu was lame. What does it mean he was lame? So Rashi in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis says that because who say le'al yerechai? We're going to see in the next parak that Yaakov Avinu will get injured by by an angel, and he's going to be on a limp. So a limp is not so far away from being lame, where his feet doesn't work at all. So the lame person depicts Yaakov Avinu, and the blind person depicts Yitzchak. That's another way of explaining what the blind person and the lame person is.
But then why wouldn't the Jews be allowed to go in there?
Why wouldn't they be allowed to go into Yavus?
Yaakov and Yitzhak, why wouldn't he be allowed to enter until it's removed?
Okay.
If that's the fact.
Okay. So Mufreshim asked this question. So like this. We said that Avraham Avinu made a promise that his descendants are not going to conquer Yavus without the permission of the Yavusim, right? Mm-hmm. Fine. And they wrote it on these statues of the blind man and the lame man. Happens to be that the blind man and the lame man are a remez. Either they're called blind and lame because it's like a Vedizah, or it's called blind and lame because it's like Yitzhak and Akka. Fine. The question is, why can't David Mel go inside and conquer Yerushalayim until he removes these statues? So we'll see in a minute. Let's just finish off the story. Omar David Lanoshov, David Melch said to his men, call me Shialavor Yishayna. Oh, Sam, another point, because that point comes up over here. The girsa that I read from the manuscript, and the Marzu, it seems, also had this girsa. So there was a Hava Amina, that when the Pasuk says, Alkein Yemru Ira Pisech Le'avo Yalapoyis, that a blind man and a lame man can't come into the house. So what does it mean, the house? It means the Beis Medrash. And the Medrash says, no, Chas V'Shalom. That's not what it means, that a blind man and a lame man can't come into the Beis Medrash. It says Chas V'Shalom. That's not what it means. Rather, it's referring to these statues. Right? So I'm bothered by, what's the Chas V'Shalom? It's a Chas V'Shalom to say that a blind man and a lame man can't come to the Beis Medrash. If there's such a halacha, there's such a halacha. If there's not, there's not. What's the Chas V'Shalom about it?
If it's representing Yitzhak and Yaakov.
No, it was the Havamina. Before Havamina, that stand, that pasuk happens to be talking about going into the Beis Hamikdash. Okay. And they were answering, no, you can't have the Beis Hamikdash, meaning you won't be able to conquer Yerushalayim until these things are removed, until these statues are removed. But the Havamina was that it literally means a blind man and a lame man can't go into the Beis Hamikdash. So what would be like? So what's the Chas V'Shalom about it? So I was wondering it, and then I remembered that when I studied the Dead Sea Scrolls, so one of the Dead Sea Scrolls is called the Temple Scroll. It's known as 11Q20, mm-hmm. 11Q20. Go to the bathroom.
I'm walking
around. Oh, you're walking around because you're falling asleep.
No. I just need to get my energy out.
So the, what's it called? In Scroll 11Q20, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, so the Dead Sea Scroll sect writes that there's a prohibition for a blind man to come into the Beis Hamikdash. So that's some sort of the working theory is that
there's no source in Chazal.
There's no, I, not that I know of. There's no source of Chazal that says such a thing. The working theory of the Dead Sea Scrolls is that some of them were written by Tzedakim or some group similar to Tzedakim.
Yeah, but that's close to Chazal. Meaning they were, as far as I understood, they were very, very, they were big Talmid Chachamim,
yeah,
going in the wrong direction.
Right.
So,
right.
Sound like I'm an artsy.
Yeah. Chachamim. So, I want to propose that's the Chas V'Shalom. The Chas V'Shalom is like don't think that the Tzedakim are right. This pasuk is telling you, like the Tzedakim, that a blind man is not allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash. Chas V'Shalom. No, the pasuk is talking about something completely different. It's talking about that as a prerequisite for conquering Yerushalayim, they need to get rid of these statues.
That would make sense because To me, I'm a complete Amharic in the city, but they were people that didn't believe in the Masorah.
Right. So
they would take words and they would translate it not
literally. Okay.
So they were literally means either.
It could be.
So now we're saying no. The Masorah says that there is. It's perfectly acceptable to go.
It could be. Yeah. I don't know about Pesach. I looked in my notes about the Dead Sea Scrolls. I didn't say anything about Pesach. It could be it says Pesach there and I just didn't write it down or something like that. But I don't know where Pesach comes in. Fine. Omer David HaNashav, David HaNashav said to his men, Kol Mishael V'Rishena, anyone who goes up first, V'yaser Es Atzlamim Malalu, and he'll remove these statues, Shekotzav Alem Es B'Shvos Avram, that set upon it the sign of the covenant of the oath of Avram Avinu, Yihiel Reish, whoever gets rid of these things, he's going to be the head. He's going to be the head of the army. Right? He's going to be like a chosh person. V'ala Rishana Yoyav ben Tsruya got up first. Vayil, right, Tsruya is David Malch's sister, so Yoyav ben Tsruya was his nephew. Vayil Rish, and he became the head of the army. Shneimar Vayab Rishana Yoyav ben Tsruya. Yoyav ben Tsruya was the head of David Malch's army. V'achakach Kana es Ir Hayavusi liYisrael b'ksav Olam l'chuzas Olam. And then, so he got rid of these statues, and then they went and they conquered Yavus, and then he bought the city from the Yavusim b'ksav olam l'chuz olam, with an eternal writing, meaning with a document, and for everlasting inheritance. Me'asa, what did David HaMelech do? Lo kach mikol shevet chamishim shkolim. He took from every shevet 50 shekel. Harei kul an sheish mil shkolim. Therefore, it comes out that altogether you have 50 shekel from 12 tribes, comes out to 600 shekel. Shenema v'itin David la'arnon. He gave him 600 shekel to buy the city of Yavus, or to buy the granary of Arnon, upon which the Beis Hamikdash will be built. And as the Marzu points out, the Medrash over here is trying to answer a apparent contradiction between two psukim. The pasuk in Divrei Yom in Shmuel says that he bought it for 50 shekel, and the pasuk in Divrei Yom says he bought it for 600 shekel. So how do you reconcile that difference? So the Medrash is saying it was 50 shekel from each shivet, which comes out to 600 shekel altogether. Fine. So as Rabbi Pomerantz asked, what's this idea of getting rid of the statues in order to go conquer it? It's not the statues that made the covenant that you're not going to conquer Yavuz. It was the covenant itself that made it. The statues is just a sign. It's just the publication of that covenant. But if the covenant still exists, whether or not the statues are there is irrelevant. The covenant is still there. So what does it help to get rid of it? So this is what the Mefarshim are bothered by. So the Mefarshim say like this. The Zayis Rana and the Marzu sort of says this. Is first you have to say that the Yavusim themselves, or these Chitim themselves, they already nullified the treaty. They did something against Kal Yisrael that nullified the treaty, and then the treaty was already technically gone. The only problem is that it would be a Chilul Hashem to go fight them because there's signs about this treaty all over the place. And then if you're fighting them, even though the treaty is already technically ineffective already, it's already nullified, but if everyone sees these signs that talk about such a treaty, you know, it's going to be a Chilul Hashem. So first, in order to go fight them, you got to get rid of the signs. That's more or less the idea over here.
Wait a minute. If the signs represent Avodah Zarah, then you can't go in the city because there's Avodah Zarah. That's why David can't go in the city because he hates Avodah Zarah. And he sent somebody else.
That's how you understood the Medrash?
I thought that's how we were understanding it. Because he hated it.
Because it's
Sone. And the other Girsa, Sone, because he hated it. In the second
Girsa.
He hated Avodah Zarah, so he himself wouldn't go in. But Yoav ben Tsruya, he went in and they got rid of them. So now David can come in and can at least come into the area. But if you say, I thought that's the pshat that was said over there. But if you say that they represent Yitzhak and Yaakov, I don't understand anything at all.
No, if I say that they represent Yitzhak and Yaakov, I'm still talking about the oath and the covenant of Avram Avinu. It's just that It's just that it represents Yitzchak and Yaakov, meaning it's like it's showing that like these people are descendants of Yitzchak and Yaakov. We're still talking about the same thing, L'chaya.
So why can't you go in the city? That's no reason not to go in the city. If you say it's
If you say it's ma,
okay. So,
first of all, I don't know if it's literally Avodah Zarah or if it's like Avodah Zarah.
Gilulim is another girsa here. Gilulim. Salamim, hot salamim. No.
Yeah, but it could be just statues, which are also to make a statue of a person. Oh. It's not really a Avodah Zarah, but it has like you know it looks like a Avodah Zarah. It sounds like a Avodah Zarah in some ways. I don't know. I don't know what the pshat is. Okay. So the Mefarshim sort of grapple with this because, like, we don't really find elsewhere that they already nullify the treaty. It's like, why would you say that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But so the truth is, there's another complicating issue, and for that we'll have to go a little bit more weiter, mm-hmm. and then we'll bring it up. Well, remind me to bring it up before we get to the third treaty. Yitzchak karas bris im amei haaretz. Yitzchak Avinu also made a treaty with the nations of the land. Kishagar be'eretz plishtim, when Yitzchak lived in the land of the plishtim. Ra'a oisam shahavchu feneihem imeno. Yitzchak saw that the plishtim were turning their faces from upon him. They were sort of being not so friendly to him. They turned their faces around. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. V'yatzeh mehem b'shalom, and then he wanted to come out with them in peace. He left them in peace. They sent him away. They said, "Leich mi'imonu ki yotzamta mi'imenu ma'oid. You're too rich. We don't like you anymore. Get out of here." And then Avimelech and his men followed Yitzchak Avinu, and they wanted to make treaty with him. Omar lahem, he said to them, "Hofachtem paneichem mi'meni. You turned your heads away from me." And now you're coming to me because you want to. Because for what? What are you coming to me for? Shnemar vayemar leim Yitzchak madua basem alai. Why did you come to me? Atem snei semai si. You hate me. Vatishalchuni meitchem and you sent me away from you. Vayemru they said roi roino kiyaya Hashem imach. We saw that Hashem is with you, and we see that when you're in our land, it brings much hatzlacha to our land. So we want to make a deal with you. But really, this is what's bothering us. Amru they said. We know that Hashem is going to give to your descendants all of these lands. It's interesting that the Lashon here is that Hashem is going to give to your descendants. Earlier we said Hashem is going to give, by Avram, we said Hashem is going to give to you and your descendants. Here it's just to your descendants. But the Plishtim said to Yitzchak Avinu, we know that Hashem is going to give to your descendants all of these lands. Christ, Imanu, Bris, She'en Yisrael Yerushin es Eretz Plishtim. Please make a treaty with us that the Jews will not conquer or inherit the land of the Plishtim. Me'asa Yitzchak, what did Yitzchak Avinu do? Lokach ama achas mimeseg chamor asher haya reichel alav. He took one hand from the saddle of the donkey that he would ride upon. I don't know what that means. What's a hand of a saddle? I don't know what it means. I don't know how a saddle really looks, so I don't know. But he took the hand from the sandal, for the saddle. And he gave that to the king of Avimelech as a sign that there's going to be an oath of a covenant between them that Yitzchak is not going to, his descendants won't conquer the land of the Plishtim. I guess like without their permission or something like that, like we said before. David, when David became king, he wanted to go into the land of the Plishim. And he wasn't able to enter because of this covenant of Yitzchak. Until he took away from the Plishim this sign of the covenant of the oath of Yitzchak that says that we're not going to conquer the Philistine lands. Shneimar says the Vayikach David es meseg ha'ama miyad plishim. It says David took meseg ha'ama from the plishim, which is the saddle of the what's it called, the hand of the saddle, or the saddle of the hand, the hand of the saddle, right, from the plishim. Pashup Shad is Rashi goes like this, and the Targum goes like this. Pashup Shad is that it's talking about the name of a city. Mesek Ha'amah is the name of a city that David Melech took from the Plishtim. But the Medrash over here is saying that no, it's referring to that saddle that Yitzchak gave them as a sign that he's not going to conquer them, that David Melech took that away, and now he's able to go fight with them. The Radak also, he brings down this Pirkei Dabileaz over there. The Radak first brings the Pashup Shad, that is the name of a city, and then or it's another name for the city Gass, which is one of the five Philistine cities. You know what the big five Philistine cities are? It's a good thing to know. Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron, Gass, and Aza. Those are the five Philistine cities. They're all along the coast. Al-Kopanim, so Mesek Ha'ama is another name, according to Rashi and the Rishayim, it's another name for the city Gass, Kiryas Gass, I don't know. Kiryas Gat is probably, maybe it's there, I don't know. Yeah, it's somewhere there. But the Medrash is saying that it's referring to the hand of that saddle that Yitzchak gave him as a sign that he's not going to conquer it. David HaMelech took that and now he's able to conquer it. It says that he subjugated or he made the Plishtim nichna. He made them humbled. He humbled the Plishtim, and the Plishtim were no longer able to. It doesn't say what, but they were no longer able to be like a major power to fight against the Jews as enemies. Now, even though this pasuk, the Mefarshim say this pasuk is talking about by the time of Shmuel Navi, it's talking about before David Melech became king. Well, the Marzu sort of says, like, Imeinu Inyan, it obviously doesn't mean in the time of Shmuel and Levi, because we see that they were still fighting in the time of David HaMelech, but it means that, you know, after David HaMelech settled it, the Plishtim were no longer a trouble. Radal asks another question. He says that we find them fighting, David HaMelech fighting with the Plishtim even later in his life. So he says there's a difference between earlier in history, the Plishtim, they were so powerful that they could fight the Jews and go into the Jews' land and fight them. Later on, they weren't able, the Plishtim still made trouble, but the fights were in Plishti land, not in the Jews' land. Like the Jews would, David Melech would go and fight the Plishtim on the Plishtim's land, like he would to conquer the Plishtim, not to defend the Jews from the Plishtim's incursions. And then the Radal also in Yisrael Aleph, he says, he brings on that later on in history, after David HaMelech, we still find the Plishtim making trouble. He says, whenever we find a few places that the Jews were doing averas, so Hashem gave special powers to the Plishtim that they would be able to make trouble. He says, in the time of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, in the time of Uzziah, in the time of Achaz, towards the end, they were, you know, if David Azariah, at least Achaz was, and Uzziah was also not doing the right thing. Yehoram also, Rashi and Hiram says that Yehoram went, he was originally a good king and afterwards he went off the dach. So all these kings, they weren't doing the right thing, so Hashem sent the Plishtim after them. Fine, so that's it's a similar story, right? Yitzchak made a shvuah that he's not going to conquer Plishti land, and then David HaMelech wasn't able to do it until he got rid of the sign of that shvuah. Fine. So there's a few questions over here. First of all, the Radal points out that other Midrashim, when it talks about this, they talk about the Plishtim in terms of Avraham Avinu. Because really, Avraham Avinu was the first one to make a deal with the Plishtim. Right? In Tana Devel Yo Zuta, it says Avraham Avinu made a deal with the Plishtim. Yitzchak Avinu sort of just upcapped the original deal that Avraham made with the Plishtim. He didn't make it wasn't necessarily a new deal. New deal. Yeah.
The first deal with Abraham was for Beersheba?
By Beersheba, the first Beersheba. The first time Beersheba was named. So, I don't know. Then that was the Radal in Ois Kuf, he asks this question. And then Ois Kuf Ches, the Radal says that you have to say that when the Plishtim kicked out Yitzchak from their land, so that was sort of a nullification of the original treaty with Avraham Avinu. And then if they want to make peace between the Jews again, they had to make a new deal. So the deal that Yitzchak made with the Plishtim was a new deal. It was besides the one with Avraham Avinu.
Why doesn't the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer talk about the Shavua that Avraham made with them?
I don't know. Maybe because Pirkei de Rabbi was understood that it was nullified not so long afterwards. So it was like sort of historically moot. wasn't historically important. Yeah. But as the Radal explains that over here, what you have to say that, you know, what was blocking David Melech from conquering the Plishti land, it wasn't just the fact that this the hand of the saddle still existed, because the hand of the saddle is not the treaty. The treaty is the treaty, right? So what does getting rid of the hand of the saddle have to do with being able to conquer Plishti land? So the Radal says the same thing you have to say, because we find the Plishtim fighting Bnei Yisrael already even before David Melech in Sefer Shoftim, etc. So by them going out and fighting Bnei Yisrael, they already nullified the treaty. So the whole thing was just a matter of Chilul Hashem. So first get rid of the Meseg HaAma, and then you can go fight them, and then everything is hunky-dory. That's basically what the Radal says. Now, I said there was another complicating factor over here. The slightly complicating factor is like this. It's a Rashi in Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Hei, Pasuk Vav, as well as Rashi in Sefer Yeshua, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Samech Gimel, as well as the Ravid in his Pirush on the Sifri, on the Pasuk of Leisucha Lechol B'Sharecha in Parshas Re'ei. They all go with a different Mahalach. They say like this. Why wasn't David HaMelech able to conquer the city of Yevus right away? Why didn't the Jews conquer right away? Why didn't David HaMelech conquer right away? What was blocking him? So they say, the Shvuah that Avram Avinu gave, or Avram or Yitzchak gave to Avimelech, that's what stopped them from conquering the city of Yevus. And they understand that these Yevusim that were in the city of Yevus, of Yerushalayim, were descendants of the Plishtim. Mm. So it's an interesting thing, because this Rashi and this Ravid are also understanding, like I pointed out before, that the Yevusim that David HaMelech had to deal with were not literally Yevusim, tribe of Canaan, but they were really Plishtim, which is really not Canaan Bechlal, the descendants of Mitzrayim. Plishtim are descendants of Mitzrayim, Parshas Noach. Right? They were descendants of Mitzrayim. They were really Plishtim, but they were called Yevusim for another reason, either because they were from the city of Yevus, like we said before, that the Chitim were called Yevusim because they're in the city, or the Radak says, a pshat, that they're descendants of some other person whose name was Yevus, that's not talking about Yevus, who was the son of Canaan, a different Yevusim, but not the same Yevusim, but a different pshat. So it comes out, we have like sort of a machlekes over here. Why couldn't David HaMelech conquer the city of Yevus right away? Right? Was it because of the Shvuah that Avram Avinu gave to the Chitim, and these Yevusim are descendants of those Chitim? Or is it because of the Shvuah that Avram and Yitzchak gave to the Plishtim, and these Yevusim are descendants of those Plishtim? That comes out to machlekes over here.
But they're both, they're holding two osim.
What do you mean?
They're holding the saddle, and they're holding the, and they have the copper statue.
No! The Rashi and the Ravid, they don't mention anything about the saddle. That's this Medrash over here mentioning about the saddle, and it's talking about Eretz Plishti proper. It's not necessarily talking about Yerushalayim Bechlal.
It's talking about something else.
Stam wanted to conquer the Philistine lands. Okay. Yeah, no, we're talking about Yerushalayim.
We're talking about Yevusi now, all of a sudden.
No, it's just Stam, now I'm going back. I'm just pointing out that there's a Mochlekes. Our Pirkei de Eliezer said that the reason why David HaMelech couldn't conquer the Yevusim right away is because of the Shvuah that Avram Avinu made to the Chitim, and these Yevusim are descendants of those Chitim. Right, by the story of Ephraim. That's what Pirkei de Eliezer says. And Rashi in Nach goes with a different Mahalach, that it's because of the Shvuah that Avram and Yitzchak gave to the Plishtim, and those Yevusim are really descendants of the Plishtim. That's what Rashi says. So now it gets a little bit more complicated. This is the Gemara. The Gemara in Soita, the Testament Beis through Yudam and Aleph, the Gemara in Soita basically says that in the time of Shimshon, meaning in the time of Shoftim, by Shimshon went and he fought with the Plishtim, right? He was famous for fighting with the Plishtim. Tovos Lafshim of Plishtim, right? Shimshon fought with them. How could Shimshon fight with the Plishtim? There was a Shvuah, there was a treaty with the Plishtim. How could he fight with them? So the Gemara says, Huchal HaShvuah. It was already Huchal. It was desecrated. It was null and void, the treaty with the Plishtim, by the time of Shimshon. Right? The Marsha says, what's a pshat? So the Marsha says that, the Marsha in Soita says that the pshat is that they said, by Yitzchak, Avimelech said to Yitzchak, "Im tishkor li ulnini ulnechti kechaser sharsis emuchot hasei modi," etc. Right? So he's being magbil. Yeah, he's limiting the covenant to three generations. To me, to my grandkid, my great grandkid, and that's it. And then afterwards, on its own, it's going to be null. It's only supposed to be effective for three generations. So the Marshal says that in the time of Shimshon, that's when the Avimelech's great grandson was still alive, and then he died, and now there's no more Shavua, so Shimshon could go fight them. That's what the Marshal says. So you see that the Shavua with the Plishtim already ceased to be effective in the time of Shimshon. Now you have a kash on Rashi, because Rashi said the reason why David and Mel couldn't originally go fight to conquer Yerushalayim is because of the Shavua that Avram and Yitzchak gave to the Plishtim. But the Gemara says clearly that already in the time of Shimshon there was no Shavua to the Plishtim. So what was stopping David and Mel, who lived a few hundred years later? What's the problem over here? So Tesis Rosh in Mesech HaSaita asked this kasha. And then I found that Tesis Shantz in Mesech HaSaita also asked this kasha. And Tesis Shantz says that the Gemara holds like Piccadilly Eliezer. The Gemara holds like Piccadilly Eliezer. What was stopping them from conquering Yerushalayim wasn't the Shavua of Avram and Yitzchak to the Plishtim. It was the Shavua of Avram to these Chitim by Ephraim. Right? That's what stopped it. So even, in Achanami, the Shavua to the Plishtim was already gone from the time of Shimshon. But what was stopping them from conquering Yerushalayim, according to the Pirkei Eliezer, has nothing to do with Plishtim, has to do with the Chitim that were called Yevusim. That's what the Tesis Shantz, or Tesis Avira, whatever it's called, the two names over there in Mesech HaSaita, that's what he answers over here. And Moshe of Zakenim, also Parshas Vayera, says such a teretz. So it's a machlokes between Rashi and Nach and Pirkei Eliezer, and the Gemara seems to be going like Pirkei Eliezer. It's an interesting idea.
I got a little confused.
Yeah.
David over here, it's two different places. It's not Yerushalayim. Rashi was talking about Plishtim down south.
No, Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Nach is talking about Yerushalayim.
He is? But why?
Rashi understood that the Yevusim of Yerushalayim are descendants of the Plishtim.
So he's arguing with the first.
With the first treaty.
With the first treaty.
Right.
The second treaty is different.
Right.
Totally. It's something.
Right. It's just talking about Plishtim on Plishtim land.
It's not nothing to do with.
Nothing to do with Yerushalayim.
That's our argument. And
right. Yerushalayim
and
Yerushalayim. Yeah. I should have really mentioned this earlier.
Because but Plishtim, he's saying Plishtim. We're not saying Plishtim. We are saying Plishtim. We're saying Plishtim now.
Right.
We're not saying Plishtim before.
Right.
We're saying it is Plishtim before.
Right. Okay, then you still you. One second. Okay, if you want to go, you have to go. But there's just a few more lines. But just to finish off the parak, if you have a kasha that the Gemara says that the shvu with the plishim is already gone, so then you can ask it over here, because by Yitzchak we said that David Melch couldn't conquer the plishim land because of the shvu of Yitzchak. But according to the Gemara, the shvu of Yitzchak is gone. That I didn't say anyone asked. But okay, so let's just finish off the parak with the story of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Kuras Brisim Ame Aris. Yaakov Avinu made a treaty with nations of the land. Sh'omer Loi Lavan, Ani Yadesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asad Lichtel Nzachos Kolar Tzisrael. Lavan said to Yaakov Avinu that I know that Hashem is destined to give to you and your descendants all of these lands. Kuras Imi Bris Shavua Sh'en Yisrael Yeshenes Eretz Aram. Please make with me a treaty that the Jews will not inherit the land of Aram. V'hitziv Loi Matzeves Avonim. And so Yaakov Avinu made a treaty with Lavan, and he erected a pillar of stones, the heaviest bun of imay bevris shvua, and Yaakov Avinu brought his son, took his sons with him in this covenant of the oath. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, Vayomer Yaakov le'echav lichtu avanim. Yaakov said to his brothers, gather stones to make this covenant. V'chi echav hayu, were they his brothers? What do you mean his brothers? Yaakov Avinu said to his brothers, v'aloi banov hayu, weren't they his sons, not his brothers? Ela le'lamercha. Rather, it's coming to teach you, Shabanav Shal Adam Ke'echav. A person's sons are like his brothers. And I spoke about this, exactly what ramifications of what this means in my Sefer and Yevamos, but I don't want to get into it right now. Omaloi Lavan. Laban said to him, if the Jews inherit the land, they shouldn't cross over to the land of Aram for bad. Fine. When David Melech became king, David Melech wanted to go into the land of Aram, and he couldn't go into the land of Aram to conquer it because of the promise of the covenant of Yaakov Avinu that he said to Laban, he's not going to conquer Aram. Now, even though, as the Mefarshim speak out, even though Lavan already went against that deal, because Lavan is like is Bilam, there's a guy that says Lavan is Bilam, or a descendant of Bilam, or his Bilam is definitely a representative of Aram, and he went to curse the Jews, so you say that he went against them, so he already nullified the bris, but you have the same thing, that Matzeves Avanim, that pillar of stones, apparently was still in existence then, and would have been a Chil Hashem for David Melech to go cross it.
That's Eretz Yisrael we're talking about?
Between Eretz Israel and Aram. Aram is like, say, like in Syria, like Damascus, like not Eretz Israel.
Why did David just went up there to conquer
anything? Yeah, the Gemara talks about it called Kibush Yachid, that David Melech went to conquer Syria. Right. Syria is Syria, that's that area of Aram. So David Melech couldn't conquer it, actually Shiber Samatseva Hayi, until he smashed Shiber, means smash, not Shavar, means break, right? Shiber Samatseva Hayi, until he smashed that pillar, v'alav omar Moshe, shaber to shaber matzeva yisehem. And about this, Moshe Rabbeinu said in Parshas Mishpatim, shaber to shaber matzeva yisehem, you should surely smash their pillars. And it's a reference, or at least an allusion, to this idea. Because Parshas Pshat is talking about a Vedazar. But here it's saying, as a Jewish, it's talking about this matzeva between Yaakov and Lavan. V'chakach kovash yisrael Aram, and afterwards, David Melech conquered the land of Aram. Shereba b'yach David is Hadad Ezer, ben Ruchoyv Melech Tzayv. And David HaMelech had smitten Hadad, the son of Rechoyev, the king of Tzeva, Hadad Ezer, and David HaMelech conquered it, and he was able to conquer the land of Aram. Okay, Shkoyach, Agutivach.